What's up? This is your boy Ward. You know this is Leader. You man with the... I gotta get a war report now. This is the war report where I was gonna listen. It's a lot going on, like always, right? So what we gonna do is we gonna get back to you and we gonna definitely talk about all this. We got the NBA draft work I'm gonna talk about. We're gonna talk about Villanova. We can break down the Jahlil Bethia interviews I had. We can talk about why Slater and Whitmore could be the two most explosive players in the Big East. I'm just listening. They look like they're ready. You know, so I'm going to go to one song I'm going to go to on break. We get back. It's Jay-Z, Marcy Me. Very good track. When we come back from break, we'll talk more about Villanova and the draft. Lots of things. We get back on Follow the Leader.
Bastard ducking when hope be bucking, chicken heads be clucking. Back when Ratchet was a ratchet and the vixen was a vixen and Jam Master J was a lob. I was mixing, cooking in the kitchen back when Robin was a piston. Mike was losing to Isaiah, but he soon would get his 6-1. Gave birth to my verbal imagination. Assume a virtue if you have not. Or better yet, here's a verse from Hamlet. Lo, we know who we are, yet we know not what we may be. So maybe I'm the one, or maybe I'm crazy. I'm from Marcy Houses where the boys died by the thousand back when Pam was on Martin. Yeah, that's where it all started when Denzel was blotting carpet. I'll pack up 9mm when Slick Rick made Mona Lisa. When Lisa Bonet was Beyonce, other day I had divas, y'all. Think I just popped up in this bitch like a fetus, nah. Pregnant pause, give you some second thoughts. There's room on the bandwagon, don't abort. Marcy me. Marcy me.
And we are back. Follow the Leader. Let's just talk some things. Big things we gonna talk about. One thing, we saw a picture Jay Wright post with Brandon Slater, Cam Whitmore. Man, I mean, it just seems like Villanova loves to recruit those players, man. I just feel like if you look at Brandon Slater, let's just talk about this. Let's just get on the real identification of why Brandon Slater is their guy. And I think people forget. They definitely forget. One of the biggest things I'm talking about is the doubt of Brandon Slater. Like, it's kind of ridiculous, man. Like, I had a time when I was, like, pressuring him, like, yo, he got to do this. I just want at least 4 points off the bench because he got a lot of time to develop. He did. Villanova spent a lot of time developing Slater, even through mistakes. Sometimes he wouldn't shoot the ball, didn't, wasn't accurate, didn't shoot the ball enough. We can go back. His sophomore year. Sophomore year, he was not shooting good, but Slater got minutes. Okay, he got minutes to make up, to garner, to get those mistakes, to play. They believed in Slater from the door. It's like Antoine. Like, when they believe in you, when Jay Wright believes in you, he's going to give you all the time to do what you got to do. Excuse me for the interruption. When people like, when Villanova likes you, Villanova plays you. So we go here and we look at the third season. You know, we got, he only got like, what, about 5 more minutes, you know, average around 17 minutes. He hit 50% from the field and 41% from three. He was shooting, you know, he shot kind of bad from, 60% from the free throw line. But there it was, averaging 3.8 a game, shooting those shots, being efficient. The next year, he went up 88% from the free throw line. He shot 47.8, 33.7 from three. Those are not, like, bad numbers, 8.5 points. The thing was, when he started out, it was so much hype from me. He's still an NBA prospect. Explosive, long, smarter. That's what happened. And he was starting. He showed y'all. If people watch, it's self-explanatory. You saw the great points of Brandon Slater. When he started out the season, he was hot. In the middle of the season, it got different. And toward the later of the season, he was a key factor in the tournament. Anybody not watching these tournament games? It's crazy. You're not watching these tournament games. You're not watching games where Brandon Slater actually was explosive and helped us win. We wouldn't have got to that point in the conference tournament or the postseason without Brandon Slater. The defense he played, his energy, shooting the ball. I don't even get what, if you look at the games they played, just at the end, look at games they played. Look at the Big East Conference Tournament. I mean, he had games. This man, listen. He's 5 for 5 against St. John's from the free throw line. Okay, he had 7 points. But he was an active, 7 points, 4 rebounds, active player. Then you look at the games against UConn, where he had 15 points. Still hitting good from the free throw line, you know, hitting good from the 3 for 6 from the 3-point line. Then let's look at the Creighton game, okay, different. We look at the different games. Because I'm trying to give y'all all a little rebound. He was 5.7 rebounds. He's still active. Against KU, he had 16. We could talk about what he didn't have against Michigan. What he didn't have against Houston. We could talk about that. But when it came to Kansas and somebody had to step up, he stepped up 4 for 7 from 3. 5 for 13. The thing is, you look at that game, look at the other games. He was only 0 for 4. He only got the ball 4 times. I know he missed 4 3-point shots, but Slater should have been getting the ball more. Even against Michigan, same thing. 4 attempts. He needs to get the ball more. Because you see what happens. 5 for 13. But he was 4 for 7 from 3. 2 for 2 from the free throw line. He had 8 rebounds. 3 assists. All around game. He needs the ball more. That's just what that is. You're not giving him the ball 4 times in a game, 5 times, expecting to see the full Slater. No, you need to allow him to be that player. They got blew out that game. But imagine if you give... they didn't really worry about it because they won against Houston. They won against Michigan. That's why I didn't really worry about it. This year is different. Like, it's time. With Samuels and Gillespie gone, oh, you're going to see a lot more Slater getting the ball more. That 16-8 Slater, he has to be that Slater. You have to give him this. This is one of the guys besides Daniels that has to get the ball. Dixon, Slater, and Daniels have to get the ball. Do we forget about Brandon Slater? Do we? Do we forget coming from Paul the Sixth, that legendary program? He was one of the top 50 recruits in the nation. He was rated as a small forward before he was rated as a shooting guard, though. And he was a high-level guy. He could have been definitely winner. He was almost near 5 stars. One of the best small forwards in basketball, one of the best players in the country. We forget about that. Now, Cam Whitmore, what are we talking about? I could talk a lot about Cam Whitmore, but I want to say is this. Cam Whitmore, I did something up there, a post that was about the best, the most talented. And it was Tim Thomas, Cam Whitmore, and Howard Porter Jr. Now, let me tell you something. All right. Let's break this down. Let's break this down a little bit. Can we break this down? Villanova fans, can I break this down for you? Howard Porter Jr., for those who don't know who Howard Porter Jr. is, was, listen, we talking about one of the most talented, you got to do your homework. People, I wasn't clearly, that wasn't my era, but any players that's out, if you a real analyst, you can't forget about the older, you have to do your homework or you're not even talking about nothing. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Howard Porter played three seasons. He played three seasons. Okay? He averaged 22-8-14-9, which is 22.8 points, 14.9 rebounds. This was before Raleigh's time. I mean, this was not before, but I mean, not before Raleigh's time. This is his time. We talking about before you had the Josh Harts, you had the Doug West, you had the Tim Thomas. This was like, because people got to realize evolution is evolution. But you, I hate the analysts going on and just strictly dissing, like they, like when Stephen A and them, oh, why you want to talk about the Bob Cousys and that. Bro, how did evolution happen? How did it, okay, we got evolution, but all of y'all ain't as good. All y'all ain't all-stars who evolved. So some guys, everybody back there who wasn't that time, I hate when people say, well, the competition they played against. The competition they played against, they dominated. The competition they played against, they was, it still don't change, they was an evolved talent. Because everybody didn't score what Wilt Chamberlain scored. Not even close. There were a lot of guys who played back then who was close to Wilt Chamberlain's numbers. It was a lot of guys. Who was close to athletic ability and the dominance of Wills? Nobody was close to 100 points. Nobody did the stuff he did at center, being a center, leading the league in assists. So y'all got to stop that. Guys are phenomenal. No matter who they play against, everybody didn't play like them. Just like I say about steroids, man. Everybody who took steroids didn't have great seasons. Everybody who took steroids wasn't Hall of Famers. They got to stop making it a knock just because it was a rule that y'all was against. It don't knock the athlete. So let's go back to this. 22-8-14-9. That was Howard Porter. Three seasons. That's what he averaged for three seasons. And the crazy part, if you really want to talk about, I mean, he was such a dominant player. The things he did, you used to see him on film, like, this dude could dominate. His first year, he averaged 22-4-14-5. His second year was 22-2-15-4. His third year was 23-5-14-8. We talking about talented. Think about in high school. Just in high school coming out, how the type of talent he was. It talks about him. And he comes to Villanova. And you look at these guys. Just the way this man played basketball. This is one of the guys, the reason why I went so hard into him to find out about him, because my pop talked about him all the time. All the time. All the time. So I'm like, who is this guy? Yeah. I started learning about Paul Arizin and guys like that, Pannone and, you know, Doug West. And there's guys I learned. There's some guys I don't know about. Let me know. I look them up, look at them, you know. Know if you really heard their name enough. Also, you got to look at credibility. When people say people's names, you got to. Some guys you don't hear about enough. Porter, that's another guy. I mean, I could say all I want, but that's also put there on the criteria of judging athletes. How known are they? You know, I seen a lot of names. I see people bring up names on my Twitter. Okay, well, who's these guys? And I go look. Don't, if I don't know them, I go look. I definitely knew who Doug West was. When I saw Villanova and he was drafted, like I knew him in the NBA before Villanova. I never saw any clips until when I looked up his profile, me playing basketball on video games, the youngin', Doug West, Villanova, just like Howie Long. I looked up both of them. I knew them both in the NFL and in the NBA first. And then I looked up their film, looked up their accomplishments. I mean, what can you say? You just got to know when things are put on record, you can't take it. And Howard Porter, number three, no question. Now, Cam Whitmore, Cam Whitmore was not where he was at. starting out on the recruiting list. They didn't put him as one of the top 10 guys. That he earned that position. Cade Cunningham started out low and came up to, you know, he wasn't where he was at, you know, but Cam Whitmore really, really worked. I mean, he just was impacting every game. Cam on Team USA, what did he do? Become the MVP, win the gold medal. Like crazy. Coming off the bench to score 19 points with the Nike Hoop in the Nike Hoop Summit. Like 19 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists in the McDonald's All-American game. Like, what can you say about Cam Whitmore? He's impressing every time he steps on the floor. Averaging 20 and 10, you know what he really compares me to? But it seems like he's a better offensive and all-around talent. Sean Marion. Sean Marion and Vince Carter is the best combined, is the best comparison for Cam Whitmore. Combined, his energy level, how he rebounds, you know, without moving, without the ball, it's Sean Marion. But offensively, his offensive repertoire, you know, his offensive moves, his athletic ability, is Vince Carter. This guy gonna come in his first year. And then you look at Tim Thomas. It's another guy we gotta talk about Tim Thomas. Got to talk about Tim Thomas. Seeing where Cam Whitmore also is ranked at 11th in 247, 14th nationally, where he came up. Everybody says, oh, well, Jalen Brunson and this and that, they were ranked more. So you go to ESPN. The guys, high school, let me tell you something. Let's clear this up. Let's clear this up about ranking. Everybody, it's only three. All these guys, whoever does ESPN, usually ESPN is ESPN, and then, you know, 247 is over ESPN. 247 is over everybody. I'm just trying to, I love Rivals. Yes, you take all their analysts seriously. You take their judgment seriously. You take them giving stuff. You take On3 seriously. These guys are great. They're good analysts. But the main men are, no question. People probably because ESPN's name, they look at it. Oh, ESPN, Okay, I understand. But they're not over 247 Sports. Let's just get this clear. 247 puts in the work, has put in the work, is the work. Don't come to me with ESPN and say, well, I looked at them. Well, you ain't look at 247 first. You're not looking at the guys who put in work 24/7. ESPN has different avenues. They have so many. They're more into, you know what you look at ESPN for? When guys are in the pros, that's the more serious outlook of that. But yes, the way they're rating, you look at that. That's great to look at. ESPN is part of that. They are a part of that. But they are not who you looking at. If you're talking about number one, I'm just want to say that. I just wanted to know, you do not look at the judgment of ESPN and say, oh, no, we're not going to look at that. Yeah, you look at that. But after you get finished looking at ESPN, Rivals and On3, go on around to the big house and look at 247. And that's who you, if you're going to look at somebody number one, you're going to look at that. Oh, yeah, Rivals had that. Well, they had this, but ooh, 247. Look what 247 got. There's no way you go to ESPN and just say, oh, look where they at. Look where they were at. No, because they don't even have a composite. You know, 247, On3 has a consensus. They don't even have a composite, man. 247 invented the composite that rates everybody's ratings together. They actually thought about everybody else. That's, if you want to know what composite is, anybody, composite is when they rate everything together. The Rivals. And I don't even know if they put On3 on there, but ESPN, Rivals, 247 rankings together is composite. Now, I don't know what On3 is. On3 probably will be 247, Rivals, and ESPN. And it got to be. If you're talking about a consensus, you got to do that. You know? Okay, now, Cam Whitmore. Let's just go back. Now, these guys have been hyped. Cam Whitmore is now, I remember when I said it. I said Cam Whitmore will be a top five prospect. And sure enough, everybody now is looking at Cam Whitmore as a top five prospect. And the NBA draft, 2023, NBA draft, he is out of here. He is, wherever he falls, he's not going to go nowhere lower than top 10. So, just like Michael Bridges, here we go. He said Michael Bridges played a little bit more before he got to a, you know, top 10 status. He played, put his work in. He had to get some years in. Cam Whitmore is that than Tim Thomas. We talk about Tim. Why is Tim number one? Let's talk about Tim Thomas. This was a once-in-a-lifetime player, if y'all don't understand. Villanova fans, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you fans that go against Tim Thomas? You are completely losing your mind. That's why opinions are so dangerous to give people. Some people don't deserve opinions. They don't. Tim Thomas, his first year, averaged over 30 minutes a game. Played 32 games. 45% from the field, 33% from three-pointer. Yep, he shot over 4 three-pointers before you start judging. Oh, how many did he attempted over 4 three-pointers, almost hit 2 a game. Shooting 79% from free throw line. 1.8 steals, a block a game, 2 assists, 6 rebounds before I get to the 16.9 points. His freshman season, 6'10", 230, could do it all. He was number 2 in the nation. Number 2. When's the last time? Listen, we played a lot of games for a lot of athletes. Tried to get Cam Reddish, okay? Tried to get Cam. Cam Reddish is one of the top. Listen, DJ Wagner, look what just happened. We know it already went to the left. They see the Louisville and they see the Kentucky and Villanova drops out. They're not even messing with it, man. They know it's too hype. That's too hype, too high of a recruiting battle. They back out. Justin Edwards. Kentucky was his favorite. But he was high on Villanova. That was definitely more than DJ Wagner. Way more than DJ Wagner. They dropped out early. You know, they tried to go in early. You know, they had the connections. It didn't work. They wasn't doing that. Same thing they did with Jalen Green. They did it with DJ Wagner. I know this because I was deep into those recruitments. I talked to the parents of, I talked to Marcus Green for a long time. His mom, Bree, his aunt. I talked to them for a long time. Then I talked to George Halkovich about Jalen Green. So I know exactly what happened with Jalen Green. Same thing that happened with Justin Edwards. They was not going in hard on that at all. And it was crazy because Jay Wright was the one recruiting him. So he came late. They worked so hard to get this class. They didn't work hard to go at Justin Edwards. And I think they actually could have persuaded Justin Edwards if Wright was there. It was high when Wright was there. It was up when Wright was there. They could have definitely got that one, even away from Kentucky. But just bringing Neptune in there, and it just didn't work out. Now, okay. Looking at this, that's a heck of a duo, man. It's a heck of a duo. Yes, I talk with people along the side of Deshaun Harris Smith. Yes, I won't tell you who. I'm not doing that, man. I'm not doing that. Because when I talked to him, this was confidential, you know, and people talk to me when they even on breaks or vacations. I mean, I give them so much love. So I'm not going to tell who I talked to. But, you know, I talk to coaches. I only tell you about who I talk to a year after stuff happens. I talk to coaches on the Harris Smith side, Villanova coaches. I'm not going to tell you who. But Listen, man. Harris Smith is a Villanova favorite. The big thing is, how about this? People would be very surprised if just Harris Smith, but I wouldn't. They would be real surprised if Merlin were to pull this out. I'm not even going to tell you if it was coaches or if it was parents who said that or people. I just know certain sources would be very surprised if this happened. But also to let you know, Villanova always is recruiting. When Villanova recruits their backup plans, they don't recruit their backup plans as soon as a decommitment happens. They've been doing this for a minute. I mean, Isaiah Wong was a big backup plan. There's always backup plans. There's some y'all don't even know about. You know, coaches don't always, you don't even know about some people. Jay Wright was recruiting Colin Gillespie. He just didn't recruit Colin Gillespie as soon as Lonnie Walker went. He had been looking at Colin Gillespie for a long time. Okay, so that duo was crazy, man. It's just letting you, like, that duo was going to be nuts to go with. It's crazy when you got Slater and Daniels and Dixon to go with Cam Whitmore. Now, the only thing is, who's the fifth guy? But they're like, the only thing would make you second guess the fifth guy, even though Chris Archidiakono was a heck of a basketball player, he's not as talented as other guys, as Brizzy, as Armstrong. I think when you got 2 point guards, it'd be crazy. Realistically, to let Daniels play point when he's already been groomed to be that killer, you gotta have Armstrong or Brizzy starting. Even if Brizzy start over Armstrong, I won't be disappointed because I know Brizzy's talented. But it just be like, man, Armstrong is, listen, shout out to the Brizzy family. Sorry if people disagree with me. Of course they're going to disagree with me. But Brizzy's a very big, good talent. But, man, Armstrong looks like he's ready now. And if you had me judge, I would definitely judge that Armstrong is just ready. And then if you bring Brizzy off the bench, ooh, that's nasty. The athletic, great ball handler that can pass that rock, can shoot from the outside. That's a nasty. They've never had it that talented back-to-back. Just think about it. I'm trying to think. Let's just think. A point guard, 2 point guards, point guards. Back to back, one backing up, another dynamic guy backing up a heck of a dynamic player. When we get back, y'all, we're going to talk more about, you know, the NBA. We're going to get to the draft, y'all, all right? All right, we'll be back here. This is Cardi B, new stuff, hot-ish. We out. We're going to be back, man. We're going to talk some real good stuff, man, on this draft when we come back on. Follow the leader. Follow leader, we are back. Listen, man, the draft from 2023 is going to be a nice one. And it's going to be some good loaded ones because of, Listen, when you got these early, one thing about these guys coming out early and able to get these pro deals in NBL or NBA G League is that you get to have a lot of talent. It's hard to even, it's real hard to judge drafts. They judging them from the top first, and then it lets you know what's available from 1 through 30. That's if you want to know how people judge these drafts, 1 through 30. You look at the talent 1 through 30. And 1 through 30 looks crazy. It's like, oh, you know the second round's good. Then the undrafted market is even more good. But it's kind of hard to judge them the way they judge them because it's like, okay. People are not even judging people right. Not putting people in the first round right. They're not putting people in the second round. They're not putting people in the lotteries. I'm just saying, man, look at Jalen Brunson. Look at Josh Hart. These guys, look where they were drafted. So many guys. Jalen LeCue. I mean, I'm just looking at guys, man. It's a lot of Miles Powell should have been drafted in the first round. It is what it is, man. It's a lot of guys that just were not. And they're like, oh, no, Greg Brown should have. It's a lot of guys that, you know, people can say what they want. But these are, who are the guys that are drafted ahead of them? Crazy, man. Crazy. Crazy. So let's talk about this. Victor Wembanyama is definitely one of those guys who's at 7. You know what makes him? Because he's 7'3". He's going to get some size. He's going to grow. You know, who do you compare him to? If I had to really compare a guy, Porzingis is good. It's a good pick, but to me, it's Anthony Davis all day. A taller Anthony Davis. This guy is Anthony Davis. That's what he is. He's Anthony Davis all over again. The foreign guy. You look at Scoot. You look at they have Nick, but to me, if I'm looking at you, look at You know, and here in NBA draft, from my guy Mike has Anthony Black number 4 and Whitmore very great at number 5. He gives him a DeMar Rosen. Wow, DeMar Rosen plus, that's what he says. My guy, he's definitely number 5. Anthony Black is not. Dariq Whitehead at number 6, I would put Dariq Whitehead higher. Gregory Jackson higher. Those are the guys you put in a Gregory Jackson, Cam Whitmore. If we looking at Scoot, we looking at Vic, who's number 1? It's a lot of stuff you can do. Scoot, man. It's so hard for this number 1. I'm sorry. I'm not giving you. If I give a number 1 right now, I'm going to give it to Scoot. That's my guy. Because he's so young and he's so ready. Who would be your second guy? It would be Victor. Victor is just he's just a unique. He's just a good player. We'll see what happens. But it's Scoot and then Victor. And then it's Cam. Who would I say number 4 would be? Yeah, it would be Nick. Nick looks great. Nick looks like a guy that's ready to get down. And then Dariq Whitehead. That's my 5th guy. And then it's Gregory Jackson, man. Gregory Jackson is that guy. Anthony Black is such a... At his height, how could you not like this guy where he is? And Arkansas getting that commitment is crazy. Man, he's such a good defender. He's really a good player, man. But it's real hard right now to put Black Anthony Black is in a pool of so many guys that I can't. Keontae George is one. Dylan Mitchell is one. Jairus Walker is one. It's good talent on the floor, man. It's great talent on the floor. Isaiah Thompson is definitely impressing me, man. Both of them. I can't take them. Listen, I can't take one out and the other one out. Like, both of them are the same type of players. I mean, Arcega's a little bit better. But A-Ben's right there. He's right there. They're back-to-back. And so they're in their whole process of players. Kasan Wallace is another guy that's in that same build. Kasan Wallace is another one. Then you're looking at guys like Sky Clark. They are not even in there. Sky Clark and Dior Johnson and Chris Livingston. I tell you, after that five, man, it is, after that, kind of like that five, it's like a pool of talent. I have to see more out of these guys. This is a broadcast that kind of, before I really start rating guys and saying who's better than who. Arthur Kaluma is a good player out of Creighton. I have to definitely give him that. Marcus Sasser is not getting love at all. Where's Marcus Sasser? Where is he at? Where is Marcus Sasser, man? Unbelievable disrespect. Amari Bailey, this is like forget about him, but this is how talented this draft is, man. So a lot of guys. Jalen Worley is a guy nobody's talking about. Matthew Cleveland is a big time guy here. Kyle Filipowski is, whew. Caleb Love is another guy you have. There are some good players in this that are not talked about. Harrison Ingram is going to be one of those guys you look for. But also in this draft, we got to come back. It's going to be a lot of guys that are not on these lists that are going to be looked at. Julian Strother and Brandon Slater and Caleb Daniels are guys that you got to look at. Hunter Salas is another. Armando Bacot. These are guys nobody's talking about that. We talking about first round draft picks. Sissoko, Oscar Tshiebwe, like, how is he not there? How is he not one of those guys? Phillips is another guy. Mark Mitch, listen, there are some guys in this draft. Javon Quinley, Jaden Bradley, Imani Bates. I'm just naming people. This is a broadcast talking about guys. Wow, watch out for. How the heck? Sunoco is another guy that's good, but he's second round guy. So many good players, man. I haven't had my one-on-ones with guys. I've been doing a lot of work, man. So that'll come. Nolan Hickman's a guy to watch out for. RJ Davis, another guy to watch out for. What happens with Keon Brooks? Hunter Dickinson. I'm just looking at, just watch out for some guys that are not being put on a radar. Excuse me, the radar. It's going to be a good draft. Such a good draft. Oh, such a good draft. But guys in the first round, like I say, Hunter Salas, Jalen Worley, Armando Bacot, Julian Strava, Marcus Sasser, and you definitely got to look at guys like Mark Mitchell. Oscar Tshiebwe, he's another, like, how is he not there? Jaden Bradley, like, Javon Quinterly, definitely a strong guy to be in the first 30. Like, it's crazy. But the guys I have a problem with right now that people don't give enough credit to is Javon Quinterly, Marcus Sasser, those two, Armando Bacot. How do you don't get those three guys, depending on what they've done, to be five stars, to be elite players? Keontae George can definitely be one of the top five people in this draft. No question. It's a lot of players, like I say, you want to talk about these guys. Keontae George is a guy that could be in number one talk. Asar Thompson, the Thompson boys are moving up so much, you could see them in top five talk. Dylan Mitchell, top five talk. Crazy right now? Top five talk. Both the twins can be, listen, unbelievable upside. Kel Ware is a guy you got to definitely look at in the first round, top 20 pick. Derek Lively, top 20 pick. This is why when you talk about number one guys, why I wouldn't put Lively is definitely not top five conversation. He won't be. He won't be. But he was number one in the country. I'm like, oh my God. Sorry, Lively is a PA. Listen, guy, please, parents, when I talk about these prospects, do not clown. I'm not talking bad on them. I'm just doing my real analyst work. This is what they got to get. If please don't pump me. Oh, my son. Chet family. Chet the Hunger family. I know they was looking at stuff like, oh, my God, look what he's saying. But this is the real deal. I'm going to give my real judgment whether I love you or not. You just like to give your judgment on my critique. Oh, well, I love him, but, hey, I think he's talking crap. But I don't think I'm just clowning your son personally. Please. Chris Livingston is he's a top 10 guy. He's not a top 20 guy. He's a top 10 guy. Amari Bailey. I'm looking at it because I see on my guy Mike Draft Room says Avery Bradley plus. I understand what he's saying. But Amari Bailey at 6'5", we can play both garbage, is at elite level. Who would I can, if really comparing him to? He reminds me more of Ketino Mobley. I gotta be with Ketino Mobley plus. You dig what I'm saying? Ketino Mobley plus. You can even give him a little bit of a Richard Hamilton comparison. Rip. He's gonna be a very, very go get it player. But Sky Clark and Dior Johnson not being in this ranking is unbelievable to me. Sky Clark will be a top 10 talent. Dior is a lottery talent. If you look at the guys that are lottery talents in this draft that you're judging, you got the Thompson twins. You don't put Dior Johnson around them. Okay, Kel Ware, how about that? Because the Thompson twins are so athletic. But look at Dior Johnson. We're going to talk about that the next segment of the Dylan Mitchell. 6'7", can do it, can shoot, unbelievably explosive, can score. Jordan Walsh, how is he over Dior Johnson? How is Dylan Mitchell over Dior Johnson? The Thompson boys can go up there to the top 10 ranking, and so can Dior Johnson. It's crazy. It's a lot of guys that would... Anthony Black, he's 6'7". I'm sorry. No, you're not putting Anthony Black over Dior Johnson. That's crazy. Nick Smith and Dior Johnson are so close in... what they do. They're so close. Scoot Henderson, Dior Johnson. They're so close. Dior Johnson is just as close to the top 10 ranking as anybody. Or he could be a guy that could battle for top 5. Now, if you want to put him out a little bit out the top 15, I hear you. But looking at the explosive of Keontae George, looking at what Derek Whitehead, the explosiveness, looking at the all-around ability of Jairus Walker, how can you not put Dior Johnson around there? How is Dylan Mitchell and Jordan Washington and Dior Johnson's not? How is Kel Ware? We're talking about Kel Wares and all these talks, but D'Or Johnson is not there? No, he's better, a better prospect than these guys. D'Or Johnson, Jordan Walsh, and Kaluma are not, and Jairus Walker are guys. What? You should definitely have D'Or Johnson in that talk if you got those guys. And you don't see, Jairus Walker is definitely a prospect, but how come right behind him is not a couple of picks back? If you want to put Jairus Walker up because of size, a couple of picks back, you got to say D'Or Johnson. I'm just trying to talk about guys that are ahead of the Bye-Bye Miller. Kasan Wallace, listen, he's an unbelievable prospect. But how is he right above him or right below him? You don't see D'Or Johnson. These are guys, if you put these guys in these rankings, you right and you're rating them above unbelievable. I just don't get it. Sky Clark is a different monster because of how he can dribble the ball and score. He's the best ball handler in this draft. The best ball handler in this class. 23 NBA class, he's the best ball handler in this class. And he can score. I just don't get it. What are you doing? I don't get it. Listen, we will talk about the next segment when we talk about guys. I still think if before we leave, we got to have some type of, what do you want me to do? Number one guy in this class. It's no question. Scoot. Scoot has been in the NBA. He's been in the pros. Why? He's been in the pro level, and he's shown it. Victor is number two, all right? And it's Cam Whitmore. Quinn Whitmore has proved everything you can do. I don't want to hear nobody say, oh, he's from Villanova. What? Before he even committed. Before he even committed, man. He was here. Look at what he's done in the McDonald's game. Dereck Whitehead got the MVP. Shout out to Dereck Whitehead, Team Durant. He was not better than Cam Whitmore. No. Dereck Whitehead, to me, was the top high school player in the nation. But after the McDonald's game, he still was the number one player in the nation. But after the Team USA, there's nothing you could say. He was the best high school basketball player in the country. Number one. So he's number three. Number four, Nick Smith. Number five, Dereck Whitehead. They're my top five guys. The hype of Overtime Elite now is there. I got to say that Dereck Whitehead, when we rank, we're going to rank it one more time. Let's do this again before we roll out of here, all right? We'll come back for the top 10, but the top five is Scoot Henderson, Victor Wembanyama, all right? Number two. Number three is Cam Whitmore. Number four is Nick Smith. Number five, Dereck Whitehead. When we come back on the next segment, we can talk about who else. But those are my top five guys, man. We'll talk about other guys. The Thompson guys are next, and so many got the Thompson twins are right there in the top 10. You know, do I say Black? Black is definitely in that conversation. Keontae George, if I had to give y'all my number six guy, it's George. And then, there's an argument there. My number six guy would be George, all right? But it's not he's not there for sure. So that's why I'll be going number five, they're there. But Keontae George is my guy that's in there, all right? All right, so I'm out of here, y'all. So as I go out of here, y'all, good to talk about the draft, some Villanova work. Get that in. That's what I want to do. We got a lot more to talk about next. The James Harden, the Durant. Oh, unbelievable. What do we talk about? The Arizona recruiting class. We'll get more into that. Meara O'Neal, how great is she? Rosario James, is she next, man? Will she be in the next line? I saw one time in one clip when she was with LeBron, she grabbed the ball. Like, why am I making this such a thing about Zari? Why? Because when you see those when they're grabbing the ball like that, that you might not make a big idea out of that, but whoa. Dribbling the ball, wanting to be there. She's seeing her brothers into this. I'm saying that because Meara O'Neal, out of nowhere, Mia O'Neal was first. And Mia O'Neal was talented, no question, man. Oh, my gosh, man. I really want to see Mia O'Neal become that player, man. I'm so, like, hype about her talent. But even more about Mia, the young, the baby. Out of everybody, she becomes the one. Sharif was so talented. He was like a super saiyan. He used to call him a super saiyan. Man was so, oh, man. We'll see, all right? Out of here, father leader.
Not even a satellite. So keep staring, soon. Suddenly see a star, and then a bomb is considered a harm. This is a lesson.